This is the English translation of Pastor Grace Jiang's message, How to Know the Will of God, number 4. In the beginning of the message, Sister Rosa shared her testimony. In the past, she only sought God's will on seemingly important matter, but now she always seeks God's will even on seemingly small or routine things. Moreover, as she waits upon the Lord regularly, seeking God's will is no longer as difficult as before. So one day when she was working, an old African-American woman came ask for a job interview at 11:50 a.m. It's weird that such an old lady would try to find a job, but Sister Rosa can feel God's mercy on her. So Rosa told her to come back at 1 p.m. because she has her personal time from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. In that hour, as she waited upon the Lord in her car, she asked God, "What do you want me to do for that lady?" Then a very faint voice asked her to share Jesus with that lady. Yet at the same time, a louder voice is trying to stop her from sharing Jesus, threatening that she might get sued if she offended the lady by doing so. Yet Rosa chose to submit to the whispering voice from the Lord as it is consistent with biblical teaching. Later on, during the interview, Rosa told the lady that she was waiting upon the Lord and praying in the previous hour, and then she learned that the lady is actually a Christian. Knowing that the lady is a Christian, Rosa shared more testimony on praises, which greatly amazed the lady, and she started praising God on the spot. Rosa then felt a prompt to hug her, and as she hugged her, Rosa started to speak in tongues and pray for the lady. Being hugged, the lady started weeping and asked for more prayer, and they prayed for a while. After all that, she learned that the lady is actually a pastor's wife, and it is because the congregation aren't tithing regularly that she had to come find a job. Rosa really appreciated God showing His will on this seemingly routine interview that she can have a chance to minister to this pastor's wife. Okay, praise the Lord. So, in our previous discussion, we talked about the prerequisite to understand God's will. These prerequisites are quite important. Without these qualities in life within you, you can never understand God's will and you will easily get confused, easily to mishear His voice, and easily to be deceived by the enemy. So, what are the prerequisites that we talk about? The first one is to be determined to obey God's will wholeheartedly. There should be no deceit within us. When we know that God's will is this way, we set our minds to follow it. Therefore, to know God's will, you must first have a sincere and honest heart that I am resolved to unquestionably obey God's will. However, if we just want to give it a try to see if God's will aligns with our desire and we attempt to inquire, if it doesn't match my desire, then I'll just disregard it. If you have this heart, God won't reveal His will to you. God knows all the deceits in our heart. If we lack a heart that is resolved to follow God's will, the path of our lives will be twisted. Therefore, the first condition is exceedingly crucial. Then, what is the second prerequisite? It is to wholeheartedly rely on God. We must frequently set aside our human understanding, intelligence, analysis, scrutiny, and scheming. And even your inherent cleverness must be let down. Do not lean on your own understanding. Instead, in all your ways, acknowledge Him sincerely and wholeheartedly seek His will. And what is the third prerequisite? It's that you must follow God's will that you already know. Otherwise, God will not reveal more to you. This means that you must constantly live within God's will, or else you won't be able to comprehend His will. So what are some examples? God asks us to possess the peace of Christ, to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. God also asks us to cast all our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. Therefore, you cannot continuously bear the burden of anxiety and keep asking, "Lord, how will my path ahead be?" The Lord won't tell you if you are in such a state. You must genuinely surrender your burden first, then you will be living within God's will. Only then will He tell you and let you understand your path ahead. For example, God wants us to rejoice always, but if you pray in a distressed or anxious manner, He won't reveal it to you. You must approach Him with a joyful countenance and a joyful heart. So the knowledge of God's will let you that you learn from the Bible, you must truly put them into practice. You must continually live within God's will, and you will be able to understand God's will. Otherwise, any method you learn will be useless. So today, we are going to discuss the fourth prerequisite, which is to wait patiently. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 to 35, it says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Amen. So here it speaks of listening to me, which is the same as the first prerequisite that we just talked about, that you need to listen to God. The second one is to watch daily at God's gate, waiting beside my doors, that person will be blessed. So to understand God's will, you need to patiently wait and seek daily until you understand. So let me share my example. During the summer between my junior and senior year in college, my first love and I confessed our feeling for each other. It was around that time that I attended a summer camp at Zion Church for the first time and was filled with the Holy Spirit. In our church, we were never taught to seek God's will regarding our relationship. If you like someone and someone likes you back, you can date each other. However, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it's as if there is now a master living inside my heart. And that is actually an important signature of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that now your heart has a master, and he begins to exercise authority in your heart. Actually, my first love and I had never officially dated before. Since we were classmates, our feeling for each other grew gradually without us even realizing it. However, we never openly expressed our feeling. It was during that summer when he went back to his hometown and he sent me a love letter. It was the first time I ever received such a long love letter, 8 pages filled with 10 lines each. I couldn't sleep that night when I read the letter. From that, you can understand how deeply I love him. However, after I was filled with the Holy Spirit at summer camp, there is now a master within me. When the school years begin, he returned and asked me out. So I started to ask God, "Lord, is he the one you have prepared for me?" I asked the Lord every day, but he didn't answer. I then said, "Lord, if you want me to know if he is the one you have prepared for me, tell me and I will obey you." So I asked this basically every day, but the Lord didn't say a word. Yet in the meantime, I didn't dare to go out for a date even once because I knew that if I did, I would get deeply involved. So I continued asking for a year. From a worldly perspective, senior year in college is quite relaxed in terms of coursework, so you could go on dates every day if you want. But still, I chose to ask the Lord every day, watching daily at his gates, waiting beside his doors. Then, after graduating from college, he became more proactive and started talking to my family. My whole family liked him so much because he was truly outstanding. Unfortunately, when I tried to invite him to join the summer camp, he was initially willing to go but later had other commitments. During the summer camp, I started to feel that he became a barrier between me and God. Every time when I wait upon the Lord, I would think of him and feel that, wouldn't it be wonderful if he were here? He would definitely be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the closer I drew near to God, the more I thought of him. After the summer camp, my whole family kept saying how great he is. My dad liked him so much, and he even said, "You won't find anyone better than him. He passed civil service exam when he was just a college sophomore, and he's also really reliable." But I continued to ask God, and I had been asking for a year already at that time, but I still didn't get an answer from the Lord. Finally, one day, my younger brother suddenly called me and said, "He's talking to Dad right now." When I hang up the phone, I rushed to my room and kneeled down. I knew that my dad would scold me again, saying, "What's wrong with you? You have become so obsessed with Jesus that you are letting your faith interfering with your relationship." I was afraid of my dad scolding, so I rushed to my room and kneeled down, saying, "My Lord Jesus, I don't want him. I just want you." And as soon as I said those words, the Holy Spirit poured out greatly upon me. The love of God was so strong that I couldn't lift my head. Then I finally realized that God had been waiting for me to say this for a year. Throughout that year, even though I kept asking his will, the Lord knew that if he told me no, I wouldn't be able to obey. It would be too painful for me to obey. God really knows our hearts well, much better than we do. Sometimes our words in prayer are one thing, but our hearts are another. Yet God is full of love and compassion. As long as you are willing to watch daily at His gate, waiting beside His door, eventually you will know His will. So when God poured out His Spirit on me that day, I realized that God had been waiting for me. Throughout that year, my prayers were not in vain, even though the Lord didn't give me an answer. Because of my daily watching at His gate, waiting and asking, God was gradually transforming my heart. He turned my heart entirely towards Him, uniting my heart and His will. This requires us to spend time in the presence of the Lord. As long as we keep spending time in His presence, He will keep changing our heart. This experience really gave me many insights. I now understand that the main point of prayer is not to change God, but to change us. So indeed, prayer is incredibly important, as it changes our heart to align with God's will. So we really need to spend time in His presence through prayer regularly. By diligently seeking God's will, our heart gradually become united with His will. Afterwards, my older sister came back. When she saw me lying on the bed, she said, "Wow, people in love looks especially beautiful." But she didn't know that I was in love with God. Because the love of God continued to stay within me, my heart becomes so satisfied. After knowing God's will clearly, the next day I called Him to meet in person, and I told Him that we cannot date each other. After that day, His words has no effect on my heart. Now it has been over 20 years, but I've never missed Him or regretted my decision. I'm really amazed by what God has done. He can do such an absolute circumcision on our emotions. His circumcision is the road. I did not do anything worth boasting. I simply came obediently to His gate, seeking Him every day. As I came before His presence, and He can work with me. In the past 20 years, whenever I think of this matter, it always fills me with gratitude. I thank God for guarding me from going astray. Just when I was about to veer off the right path, the Lord intervened, filled me, and prompted me to seek His will. If the Lord hadn't filled me at that time, I wouldn't know I have to seek His will. I would probably get married and have children, probably still attending meetings, but then frequently feel regretful. Because my husband wouldn't have loved the Lord as much as I did. He was good in many ways, but his career ambition was very strong. I consider Jesus my ambition, but Jesus wasn't his ambition. Jesus is my treasure, but not yet his. Although he's a Christian and a good person, Jesus wasn't his treasure. If I had married him, I would probably have a deep regret inside me that he is the head of the household, but it's so difficult for me to honor him as a head. So I really want to encourage our youth and young adults. You need to fully submit to God and His will. God's will is truly wonderful. Anything that I choose to submit to God's will, I have no regrets till this day. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If I had taken the wrong path back then, my life today would be totally different. And God's many beautiful plans for me would become impossible. Thus, it's really crucial for us to seek and know God's will. So to know God's will, we need to wait patiently and wholeheartedly believing that He will guide our path. If I had given up in the middle of that year and just concluded that, since God didn't speak to me anyway and there are so many pressure from my family, I might as well just get married. Also, even though God didn't speak, He didn't stop me either, so I can just get married. If I did that and gave up early, I would never know God's will. So to truly know God's will, we really need a lot of patience to wait for Him. This is the fourth prerequisite. Before you receive clearly, you should stand firm and wait. Don't give up seeking before you receive it clearly and act hastily according to your own desires. Otherwise, you will never understand. So now we finally can talk about some technical details on how to know the will of God. But the prerequisites we mentioned in the previous couple messages are still very important. It's crucial to take them seriously and practice them in your life, so you can develop these qualities that enable you to understand God's will. So the first point is, in learning how to know the will of God, is to consistently obey the prompting and paying attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Amen. So the anointing of the Lord abides within us and teaches us about everything. Therefore, we need to pay attention to the work of the anointing within us and be sensitive to its prompting. For example, once when I was in LA, some brothers and sisters invited me to go fruit picking in an orchard the next day. I really like to go to the orchard, and that place is quite famous for its beautiful scenery and abundant fruits, so I agreed. But that night before I go to sleep, I asked the Lord, Jesus, do you want me to go to that orchard? Let me know. Then when I woke up the next morning, I felt that I shouldn't go. So I told them, I'm very sorry, but I don't think I should go. Of course, they were quite disappointed, but I told them they can still go without me. Later, they came back and told me that all the fruits has already been picked. Then I realized that the prompting from the Lord was correct. So we need to consistently learn to obey the anointing within us, and we will understand his will more and more. The Lord doesn't want me to waste time. If I hadn't asked the Lord and just go without thinking, I wouldn't have learned to follow God. When someone begins to practice in their life, they naturally start to ask the Lord inside them about everything. Through consistently asking him and honoring him as our King, his kingdom can keep expanding and forming within us. So it is crucial to seek and obey him in everything. If you want to experience the rich presence of the Lord, you need to ask him about everything and obey him. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 it says, For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Amen. So sometimes we feel prompted to do something. It's because God is working within us, aiming to fulfill his good pleasure and gracious will. I remember once when I was still in Taiwan, after a church gathering, I saw a sister who was a full-time minister when I was leaving. She was wearing a beautiful dress that day. However, she had a short coat that didn't really match that dress. So I thought, my long coat would go really well with her dress. Should I give it to her? But later on, I hesitated because I really liked my long coat. 3 days later, I was attending another meeting. When I was waiting upon the Lord on the bus, suddenly the thought of that coat came to me again. So I asked the Lord, Lord, it fits truly your will for me to give it to her. Let her wear the same dress today. However, when I arrived at the church, I completely forgot about that. Later, as I was heading to the restroom, that sister appeared to be coming out from the restroom, and she was wearing the same dress and had the same short coat paired with it. When I saw her, I knew God's will very clear now. So when I got home, I sent the coat to dry clean, and at the next gathering, I gave it to her and told her that I was moved by the Lord to give it to her. She saw that coat and really liked it, and she was deeply touched. After going home, she also took a piece of clothing and gave it to another sister. And so that sister was deeply moved as well and went on to give another piece of clothing to yet another sister. It turns out the act of giving that coat sets off a ripple of love, and everyone was so touched. So dear families, many times we easily quench the prompts from the Holy Spirit. But Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, because the prompting from the Holy Spirit is often just like a passing thought. As soon as you said, oh, well, or I don't want to, then you immediately quenched it. But that day, when I was waiting upon the Lord, the prompt resurfaced. I sensed it might be the Lord's reminder, so I was willing to pray again and seek confirmation. So we shouldn't easily overlook or quench the inner prompting, and only then will we increasingly know God's will. Another example, back in Hsinchu, we had a brother from Tsinghua University. One day when a brother is biking to church while it was raining heavily, he felt a prompt inside him to go back to the dorm, taking something so he can return it to someone today. However, he thought the rain was so heavy that he could just do it next time. Also, the way from his dorm to the church was a steep downhill slope, so he didn't want to go uphill under heavy rain. So he continued to come down from the slope, but he still felt the prompt, so eventually he decided to obey God's will. So now he had to bike back uphill in pouring rain all the way back to his dorm. He climbed the stairs to his room, taking off the raincoat, and the whole journey was just very uncomfortable, as our flesh isn't inclined to go through such trouble. However, he believed that obeying God must be done willingly and joyfully, so he kept saying, "Lord, I thank you, I praise you." So then he retrieved the item, put on his raincoat again, came downstairs, and got on his bike again. And as he biked on the way to church, the joy from Holy Spirit just filled him greatly. Then he knew that the earlier prompting was indeed from the Lord. So I'm sharing these testimonies to remind everyone to be attentive. Holy Spirit has certainly prompted you before. However, many times we feel inconvenient or uncomfortable in our flesh, so we disregard it. But we have to learn to pay the price. It cost extra efforts for me to dry clean my coat and give it away. And that coat was something that I really liked. But when we are willing to pay the price to obey, we'll increasingly know how to recognize God's voice and know His will. Also, God rarely speaks to us with an audible voice. When God uses an ear clearly hearing voice to speak to us, most of the time it's because the person is in a wrong condition and their inner being can hear. For example, in the book of Acts, God said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" At that time, Paul hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit and he hadn't practiced to know, understand God's heart. So God needed to use an audible voice that he could hear. After Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, in the remaining book, it no longer records Paul to have similar experience of hearing God's audible voice. After being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul had to go step by step, asking God and seeking to understand God's will. Similarly, when Samuel was just a child, he couldn't discern either, so God used an audible voice to speak to him. Therefore, do not think that when God speaks to someone with a loud voice, it means that the person is more spiritual. In most cases, it's because the person hadn't yet developed the ability to hear God's voice within, or they are in the wrong condition where they cannot hear God's voice. In such cases, God needs to use an audible voice that they can hear. For example, there was a preacher who had just started serving the Lord. He was leading a group of teenagers, but they were very rebellious and gave him a lot of hard time. Every time he came before the Lord, he would say, "Lord, I quit! I quit! I'm resigning. I'm not doing this anymore." Until one time when he knelt down and was about to say the same thing, he heard a very clear and audible voice saying, "If you say it one more time, your life will be just like this. I won't use you anymore because you are a complainer, not someone who is gentle and obedient to God." So dear families, please don't argue with God. Many people say that they always argue with God. Although God is very patient and long-suffering, do you really need God to speak to you so loudly like this? I've never dared to argue with God. I love Him, but I also fear Him. We truly need to fear the Lord. Even the devil is terrified of Him. It's just that many Christians often don't understand their place and dare to argue with God. He's worthy of our respect and awe, and we need to be forever submissive to Him. Don't always just say, "I can't do it." Even if you really can't do it, say instead, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm willing, but I can't do it yet. Please help me." So later on, that preacher said that was the only time when God spoke to him with such a clear voice in his entire life, because he was in the wrong condition. So for the four prerequisites we mentioned, we must practice them consistently in our daily life. Number one, be determined to obey. Number two, wholeheartedly rely on Him. Number three, live in God's will. And number four, patiently wait for Him. So you must cultivate these qualities to truly understand God's will. By consistently obeying the inner prompting, God gradually replaces our thoughts and we will increasingly comprehend His will without even realizing it. Confucius said, "At 70, I could follow what my heart desires without transgressing." He was 70 when he was finally able to follow his heart without transgressing proper limits. However, if we often obey God, giving Him our absolute yes and never dare to say no, we can learn much faster. For example, if we know that God asks us to cast our burden on Him, then even when we face huge challenges and don't know what to do about tomorrow, we choose to say, "Lord, I want to cast my worries on You, and I'm going to sleep well." We will be able to experience Him, and we can't carry the weight of worry, as that shows a lack of faith. If you don't have faith in God, He won't solve your problem for you. So we must genuinely obey God's will in every situation we encounter. So now let me share my testimony of tumor again. Back then, I already had the tumor for a year, and I finally went for a checkup. and the results turned out that I had the same kind of tumor as my older sister had. They both underwent surgery to remove it, so my parents wanted me to have surgery as well. So every day I asked the Lord, "Lord, do you want me to have surgery?" I asked for many days, maybe a week or two, and then one day a sentence flashed in my mind. "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So when this sentence flashed by, I knew that the Lord wanted me to trust him. So I said, "Lord, I'm determined to let you find faith in me. I won't have surgery. I want to honor you with my faith." So now you can see why we need to genuinely obey God. If we are not sincere, we could easily brush it off and say, "The Lord didn't tell me not to have surgery. The Lord only said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith?" And I can easily misinterpret that. But instead, I said, "Lord, I will rely on you. I want to honor you with my faith." By doing so, I cut off all other options for myself. After that, I publicly shared to the congregation that I have a tumor, but I choose to rely on God, and I asked them to pray for me. From that day onwards, I knew I had to live vigilantly before the Lord because this wasn't a small thing. Many people shared frightening news with me. For instance, a sister had the same type of tumor, and it became so large that it presses against other organs, and she couldn't have bowel movements for 40 days. When she underwent surgery to remove the tumor was huge. However, I have made my decision. "Lord, I'm going to rely on you and honor you with faith." So every day I carefully lived in God's presence, and I didn't allow a minute of worry, anxiety, or fear in myself. Because I knew I had to live in God's will for Him to fulfill His promises, purposes. Surely it's not easy. All my symptoms persisted, and my health wasn't very robust in the first place. Whenever I saw those symptoms, I would think if the tumor is getting bigger. But as soon as that thought came like an enemy's arrow, I would say, "Lord, I thank you. I believe you have healed me. Because you said, whatever things we ask for in prayer, believing, and we shall receive." So I just pray like that every day. Even though I continue to bleed every day, I maintain an inner peace. Regardless of what others told me, I refuse to listen to those things. Then I remember during my first home church gathering in San Jose, my tumor disappeared. It was March 7, 1987, and it has been 10 years since. Many people ask me, "Did the tumor really disappear?" I always said, "Yes, it completely disappeared." If I hadn't continued to genuinely obey God's word back then, if I only consider all the things people told me and the ongoing symptoms, if I just gave up and go for a surgery, I wouldn't have understood that one sentence was truly from the Lord. Therefore, to understand God's will, we must obey the instruction of the anointing within us. The voice of God within us is often conveyed as a thought or an idea. That's why we talked about those four prerequisites earlier. If you don't frequently set aside your opinions and obey, if you don't take God's commands in the Bible seriously and allow God to be king over you, emptying yourself of your perspective, then God cannot easily speak to you. If the thoughts from your soul are strong, you usually can't easily discern whether it's God's voice, your voice, or the devil's voice. Many biblical scholars can analyze the word of God well, connecting various passages and dissecting the meaning of chapters, but they haven't spent time waiting upon the Lord, letting Him replace their thoughts. They only rely on their natural reasoning. Note that I'm not saying that we should abandon our reasoning. For certain stuff, we don't need to ask God. For example, "Lord, should I take this dish or that dish first? Or should I walk on the left or the right side of the road?" For such everyday natural things, just do them naturally. You don't need to ask God, "Lord, how many bowls of rice should I eat?" You can just eat until you're full. However, if you often obey God, you will find that even in the natural aspects of life, there will be exceptions when God speaks to us. Take Minister Pearl Young as an example. Every time when she went from Gongguan to Gozuko for the gathering, she had to cross the bridge to another side to catch the bus. Since there were several bus options to Gozuko, she usually picked the one that came first. One day, as she was about to board the bus that just arrived, she heard a voice inside her say, "No, don't go." So she immediately stopped and didn't get on the bus. She stood there continuing to wait upon the Lord, asking, "Lord, do you have any guidance?" Not long after, an elderly brother came panting and said, "Minister Bo Yang, I went to your home just now, but you weren't there. I thought you might have come here to catch the bus, so I hurried here to check if you are still here." God knew this brother had something to tell her, so God stopped her from getting on a bus. If we are quick to set aside our opinion and we are used to obeying God, then God will find it easier to speak to us in our everyday life. Dear families, we have to examine ourselves. If you feel like, "I have been a believer for so many years, but it seems like I've never really heard God's voice or felt His prompting," then it's likely that your opinions are strong. For example, if your mind is always preoccupied with certain matters and you rarely wait upon the Lord with your spirit to let Him shine upon you, renew your thoughts, or replace your thoughts, it's expected that you would not hear His voice. Another possibility is that you easily dismiss the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Lord prompts you something, you are either not moved by it or just think it's inconvenient for me, so I don't want to do that. Because your own opinions are strong, making it difficult for you to obey, and that eventually makes you deaf to God's voice. So remember the story of the brother from Tsinghua University that I just shared. Was it easy for him to submit? I don't think it was easy at all. Biking uphill in heavy rain while wearing a raincoat, plus the fact that it wasn't something urgent. It's really hard to obey, but I believe God was simply training him, testing his willingness to obey. And through his obedience, God poured out his spirit of joy upon him in abundance. Also, as a result of his tendency to submit to God's will, this brother made tremendous spiritual progress. Within just 3 months of joining our church, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he continued to be filled frequently. Within a year, he was already serving as a youth counselor. His spiritual growth was remarkable, and his key was obedience. He listened to whatever he heard and he acted upon it. He's also sincerely and honestly obeyed God, whether it's easy or not. So in John chapter 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word," which also means that in the beginning there was a message. Our God really enjoys speaking to us. He wants to talk to us, but often we don't have the ears to hear. Our ears are filled with our own voice and the voice from this world. And we often tend to fix our attention on visible phenomena rather than the truth that God speaks to us. For example, in the instance of my tumor, if I only focus on the worsening symptoms rather than God's words of, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I would have gone to that doctor and had surgery. In that case, I would never truly understand God's will, and I would never recognize that the voice I heard was truly from God. So dear families, remember that understanding God's will is not something that we can suddenly become clear through some miraculous event. It's a process of practicing obedience to Him and drawing near to Him. The more you do this, the more you'll understand. Just like an old married couple who can read each other's emotion with just a single glance. This is because they spend so much time together, constantly observing each other's reaction and knowing their preference and dislikes. Likewise, we need to consistently draw near to God. Just as we set aside urgent matters and our own opinions to be close to Him, He will gradually replace our own desires, making it easier for us to understand His will. So today, I would like to also talk about the full-time ministry calling. In this context, the inner prompting from the Holy Spirit and peace are of utmost importance. If you consistently feel a prompting, longing, or a strong desire to serve God full-time, that prompting should be able to withstand tests and challenges. There was once a brother who told a pastor that he wants to serve the Lord full-time. And the pastor told him, "Brother, serving the Lord full-time is not a simple matter. You should continue working." He then followed the advice and continued working. Eventually, he became absorbed in the world. Not only did he not serve the Lord full-time, but even stopped attending church altogether. This illustrates that the full-time calling and inner prompting must be able to withstand repeated tests or challenges. As time goes by, the inner prompting should go stronger instead of getting weaker. Furthermore, you should not fear being discouraged by others. People might say, "Are you really able to do full-time ministry?" Or, "Serving the Lord full-time is too difficult," things like that. Yet, you should not be deterred by their discouragement. You should press in. This is what it truly means to be called to serve the Lord full time. Moreover, in addition to the inner prompting, you might also notice that everything you are interested in revolves around the word of God's house. You need to have interest and a burden for every aspect of God's works. Then that's the true calling. So I actually experienced this personally. I wanted to be involved in every aspect of church, and I had interest and a desire to understand everything within God's house, not just doing what others assigned me. Someone might say, oh, for my full-time ministry calling, I just want to teach the Bible. But what if the Lord called you to clean the restroom of the church full-time? What if the Lord asked you to pick up and drop off people all the time? You must be enthusiastic about everything in God's house, and you should not wait until others assign tasks to you. You should take the initiative to do them. This is what a true calling looks like. Some people might be very eager to serve the Lord full-time during their student days. Perhaps they just attended a missionary conference where a speaker from Africa passionately shared about the vast need for the gospel there, and that moved them deeply, and they were willing to respond to the altar call to serve the Lord. However, when they entered the marketplace, they found that it is much easier to earn money there, and they were valued by their company, and it seems necessary to buy a house now. Gradually, their enthusiasm waned. This illustrates my point that the full-time ministry calling must withstand tests. Before I responded to the full-time calling, I reached the point where I said, Lord, I'm willing to endure any hardship for your sake. Even if that means I might be very poor, I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house. It meant if I didn't dedicate all my time to serving the Lord, my heart wouldn't be satisfied. I was willing to set aside everything for God. Full-time ministry is a calling, and indeed, it's a very glorious to serve God full-time. So when Minister Pro Yang shared the story of that pastor and the young brother, she felt a sense of regret. She believed that if the pastor had responded by saying, Brother, serving the Lord full-time is not easy, but it's truly a glorious endeavor, it would have been better. However, he only told the young man that, it was tough. This response extinguished the young man's enthusiasm for full-time ministry. Of course, I don't know whether the young man truly had a calling from the Lord, but a true calling must be able to withstand tests. Also, concerning the matter of relationship, if we say, oh, Pastor Grace said that as long as there is an inner prompting, we will obey that prompting, because the inner prompting is the most accurate, then you will find that the entire church brothers will have the same feeling towards the same sister, the most beautiful sister. Everyone's prompting is the same. So obviously that's not a spiritual prompting, it's a fleshly prompting. So in the matters of relationship and marriage, you cannot solely rely on having a strong inner prompting. Let me give you an example. There was a sister in Taiwan. At that time, I was serving abroad for a while. And when I returned, I noticed that her spiritual life had deteriorated significantly. She even reached a point where she wanted to leave the church. So I asked her what happened, and she told me that there was a brother in the church who was very kind and thoughtful. Sometimes when the meeting ended late, he would offer to drive her home. After dropping her off, he would also have conversations with her mother. After a few times, her mother became fond of this ideal son-in-law. And the sister also liked this brother a lot. As a result, she began to pray, saying, Lord, if it's your will, allow me to meet him on the bus to the meeting today. Interestingly, the brother indeed got on the bus at a certain stop on several occasions, exactly as she had prayed for, and it seems to be accurate. However, after several months and then a year, that brother never expressed any interest or intentions. The sisters became very disheartened, and it seemed like it might be God's will, and it seemed like the brother treated her well, but he never showed any sign of interest. So the situation became unbearable to her. When there is uncertainty in a situation and your heart has invested in someone, it's the most painful moment. Unrequited love is the most scary thing. It can really drive someone crazy. Satan often used matters of relationship to lead many young people into spiritual destruction, causing them to forsake God and slide away from his gracious will. Later, when I found out about the situation, I spoke to the sister and said, I will go and ask that brother. Don't worry, I won't let him know it's about you. So I approached the brother and asked, do you have any feeling for any sister at church? He responded, yes. Then I asked, who? But he mentioned the name of a different sister. This made it quite clear that he had no feeling for the first sister, so I shared this information with the first sister. Once she understood, she was able to let go of her feeling and move on. Later, God also prepared a wonderful brother for her. So in matters of relationship, no matter how strong your feelings or promptings are, no matter how many signs or confirmations you think you'd receive, if the other person says they don't have any feeling, then it's definitely not God's will. Satan can also create many coincidences. If you did not dedicate your emotion and relationship fully to the Lord, and you haven't sought God's circumcision in your emotion, then your emotions will be easily swayed towards a particular person, and the enemy can easily deceive you in that state. I know many sisters in this kind of situation. Some might say that they thought it was God's will and have waited for 4 years, but nothing happened. And now it has been 10 years and the other person still has no feelings. Brothers are not immune from this either. So someone likes a sister and he asks for confirmation, and it seems to all work out. He asks God to let him meet her at a certain bus stop, and it actually happened. They have many confirmations, but that sister had no feeling for him and has already told him so. Yet this brother didn't give up, and he still believed that God has given him feelings, promptings, and confirmations. Eventually, after several years, that brother had a mental illness. So dear families, in matters of relationship, we must dedicate our feeling to the Lord. You can pray like this, Lord, my emotion must be completely surrendered to you. Please perform circumcision in my emotions and relationship. Do not let me fall in love with whom my flesh loves. Help me to love who you love, and I want to love you first. Therefore, I always advise our sisters, unless a brother has already expressed his feeling to you, it's best not to develop feeling towards him and then constantly seek at confirmation secretly. Why do I particularly address the sisters? Because among the brothers, there are very few who are willing to completely obey God in matters of relationship. It's very rare to have brothers who only care about God's will and do not care about appearance. I haven't encountered many like that. But once, when I was speaking to a brother and I had shared that I've only seen 3 brothers who truly don't care about a sister's appearance, only care about God's will, that brother used to care a lot about appearance as well, but after hearing my words, he said, Pastor Grace, I hope that I can be the 4th one. And truly, the Lord worked in his life. Later on, the Lord prepared a sister for him who really loved the Lord, was spiritually mature, but wasn't physically attractive. However, her inner beauty was so radiant that this brother really loved her. So I hope that all our singles can truly dedicate our emotions and relationship to God. If your emotions haven't been circumcised by God, you will still face difficulties in your marriage. Why is that? If you only care about physical beauty, after marriage, your spouse will become less attractive over time. If you constantly indulge your desires of eyes, you won't use your spiritual eyes to appreciate the inner beauty of Christ in the sister. In that case, you are truly pitiable. Marriage will become less and less satisfying, and there will always be beautiful women emerging. If your focus is solely on physical beauty, there will be even more beautiful women in future. No wonder there's a Chinese slang saying that girls with beautiful face have unfortunate fate. Why? It's because beautiful women often attract more daring men early on, causing them to be pursued and taken away by those men when they are just 18 or 20 years old. However, their beauty diminishes as time goes on and more beautiful women emerge, which draws the men away again. Of course, if our sisters can discern and guard their hearts, knowing that it's not enough for a young man to simply be kind and considerate to you, things can change. So for all the sisters, these are things you should pay attention to. Is his life worthy of your respect and submission? Can you truly honor him as the head of your family? If you like him just because he's kind and considerate, what if he becomes busy with work after marriage and can no longer be as kind and considerate? Does that mean you won't like him anymore? The longer you are married, the less likely he will be able to always consider it, especially as everyone becomes more busy. So in all these matters, if we are willing to submit to God's ways, we can avoid much pain and suffering. So in summary, today we talk about the first key to understand God's will is to pay attention to follow the anointing within and to obey the inner prompting from the Holy Spirit. In your life, always be attentive to the Lord within. When a thought flashes across your mind, learn to obey it. If you are just beginning to learn that, it's better to obey more rather than less. Even if you make a mistake because of your obedience, it's okay. But by practicing obedience more and more, you will understand whether your receiving is right or wrong. This includes submitting to the Lord's prompting in church gathering. If the Lord prompts you to pray or praise out loud, if you keep telling yourself, my voice isn't pleasant, and I will draw too much attention, and you don't obey, the Lord's prompting will become less and less effective on you. So be attentive to obey frequently. Either it's doing church gathering while driving at home or in your workplace, by frequently obeying Him, you will become more and more able to understand God's voice and His will. Amen and amen.